Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter on Church at Home. Welcome to Church at Home, where we are dedicated for restoring original Christianity for today, and for understanding the things in prophecy, for understanding the Word of God. How does it apply to us today? How should we live today? And what should we do? How can we face all of the terrible problems that are coming? And we've covered a lot of these in this series that we've been doing, that it is God, not the economy, not the politics, and not the finances. It is God. Because we've turned our backs on God as a nation, we have refused to keep His commandments. We have had ministers and preachers and priests and cardinals and bishops and popes all against the Word of God. And they have caused the people to sin. And Satan the devil is out there ruling the world because men have given control of the world to Satan the devil because of their sins, because they refuse to obey God. They refuse to keep the commandments of God. They refuse to keep the judgments and statutes of God. So much so that the Protestant theme of the law has been done away is absolutely blasphemous and anti-Christ. Oh, you're so hard on those preachers. Let me tell you something. Wait until they get in the hands of God. And God says, did you have my word? Yes. Did you read it? Well, the parts I wanted to. Why didn't you read it and preach it? He holds them accountable. We are in the condition we are in because of the preachers and teachers and the politicians and all the citizens who want to have their own way. Do you want God's way? Do you want the truth of God? Really? Well, you know what we've been going through here, covering the curses that will come upon us when we leave God. Does that seem heavy to you? Well, it is. It's very heavy. It's very hard to take. But do you accept it as the truth of God? Do you understand and comprehend that what you're seeing in the world today and that is happening right now is coming right from these words which were prophesied 3,500 years ago? Well, that was for them back there. Was it really? The final result of all of this is going to be the only solution is the return of Jesus Christ coming from heaven in power and glory to shake the heavens, to shake the earth, and to bring all nations to their knees and to eliminate this satanic system that Satan has in his grips. You know the song? There's a song dedicated to Satan. A lot of people don't know it, and they like to sing it. That's dedicated to Satan the devil. Did you know that? A lot of people like to sing it, but what did Satan tell Jesus? Took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, kind of like a huge, vast television screen, and just showed him all the history and everything. And Satan said, you see all these nations and all the power and the glory of them? If you'll worship me, they shall be yours. So who controls this world?
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
Satan, the devil. Why? Because men have rejected God. Whenever you reject God, you're following Satan, the devil, whether you want to admit it or not. So what did Jesus say to him? He said, as a man, quoting the Word of God to himself, the Word of God says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Is that your life? Do you worship the God, the Lord God, and serve Him only? For He is your life, and He is your health, and He is your protector? Or do you turn your back on God? What is your life? What do you believe? How do you live it? What are the secret thoughts of your mind? Because God is going to judge all of us by that. Did you know that? How often do sinful thoughts come into your mind? Let's reverse it and say, how often do righteous thoughts come into your mind to say, God, I love your perfect law. God, I love your commandments. I love your statutes. I love your judgments. I love your Sabbath. I love your holy days. I love you with all my heart, mind, and soul and being. I love you, Jesus, that you came and willingly laid down your life to be virtually slaughtered beyond recognition, so that I could come to you through your mercy and grace and find forgiveness. Is that on your mind? What is on your mind? What do you think? What do you want? You need to understand that unless you're living your life according to God's way and His commandments, that you're never going to find relief from sin and oppression that is coming on this whole nation and eventually the whole world. We are living in the last days. You need to understand that. And we're going to cover some prophecies as what's going to happen. And if you think you feel oppressed now, and if you think the pall of being just helpless and trying to do things and everything is coming in upon us, if you think that's heavy, wait. And unless you know God, unless you turn to God, unless you love God, unless you really turn your life to Him and repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord and Master and are baptized in full water immersion for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the Holy Spirit of God and to enter into covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Unless you do that, your life is going to be spent in vain. And there will be nothing but the curses that are contained here in Deuteronomy 28 that are going to come like waves, like waves, like waves, unrelenting, continually coming, continually coming, continually coming, and magnifying, getting bigger and larger and more dangerous. That's what Deuteronomy 28 is about. It's a heavy, heavy chapter to read, isn't it? But is it the truth of God? Yes. Do you love the truth of God? Even these things? That you will take it as a warning because God said, if you will hear, if you will obey. Now, God is not going to change the world yet. That's not going to come until the return of Jesus Christ. And you can be absolutely guaranteed there is no man, no politician, no pope, no potentate, no man who says he's the Messiah of the world who is going to rescue the world from this. Only the powerful return of Jesus Christ is going to do that, and we'll cover that in some later segments. I'd like to give you a reading and study assignment. Please read all the book of Jeremiah. Let me also suggest, if you want this to really be effective to you, that you do like those who are really serious. You find a quiet, private place, and you shut the door, and you get on your knees, and you open up the book of Jeremiah and start reading it on your knees and praying while you're reading it. And let this be correction to you. You apply it to yourself personally as your own correction from the Word of God, that you can repent, that you can turn to God, that you can understand the things that are taking place. And then I want you to read on your knees all of Deuteronomy 28, all of the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it gets progressively more ugly. But the good news is Christ is returning, and He's returning in power, and He's returning at His own time, and we'll talk about that later on. But we have some unfinished, ugly business to handle here in Deuteronomy 28, so if you can forbear a little longer, and if you can realize that this is necessary, and if you can understand that these things are happening right before your very eyes, right as you're watching the news, right as you're reading the paper, right as you're living your life and going about your daily chores and business and work and whatever you do, it's right there. let's read on here a little bit. Now he says that not only are you going to have a lot of sickness and disease, do we have a lot of sickness and disease that you can't be healed of? Yes, and isn't it interesting that now we are going to get a health system that is going to say, if you're old, why don't you just please be nice and go curl up in a corner and die, because we can't afford to bring these healing methods to you. Isn't that ironic that we have that? God says drought is coming, famine is coming. So much for alternative fuel. Think about it. What if the entire corn crop fails? What are we going to do for ethanol? See, there is no prosperity in sin. Satan comes along and says, if you sin, I will give you a benefit, which is pleasure in sin and profit in sin for a while. But sooner or later, it's over with and the curses are there. It's like a man who used to gamble on the baseball games. And a voice came and said, well, bet on this and bet on this score. Sure enough, it happened. Boy, and he made a lot of money. So then the voice said, why don't you go down to the racetrack and I'll tell you who's going to win. So he goes down there. Sure enough, boy, he gets the triple thing. First, second, and third place, and he makes money hand over fist. Then the voice says, you like this money? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Well, come over here to the casino, and I'll show you how to make much more money. So he played the blackjacks and made lots of money, and played the roulette table and made lots of money. And then he came over to the poker table. He had this whole big stack of money there, and he was just about ready to win. And the voice said to him, go all in. Bet all that you have. Everything that you own. And he said to himself, well, the voice has been right all along, so I'll do it, all in. And he loses. He was devastated. He was flabbergasted. So he said to the voice, why did you tell me to do it? He says, well, you can't win them all. See, that's the kind of benefit that Satan gives you. God says, you love me and keep my commandments, and I will bless you. So then he talks about what's going to happen. Going to strike us with boils and hemorrhoids and scab and itching that cannot be healed, with madness, with blindness, astonishment at heart. Is that not happening today? Do we not have a lot of heart attacks? Yes, indeed. Oh, but take this medicine, but watch out for the side effects. You may become insane, or you may have another problem. And I look at all of these medical ads that are on television, you know, and you think, oh, look at all these happy people. And then you listen to all of the side effects, and you wonder, who's insane enough to take those stupid things? You know, like we already read, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and people have the knowledge available to them how to be in good health. You can go online and download anything you need to know how to take care of yourself, but people won't do that, and they run off to the doctor and come to Obama and say, Obama, give me my Obamacare, please. He says, all right. You're obese? You're going to lose 200 pounds. If you don't lose 200 pounds, you're not going to get any health coverage. Oh, but that's not what you promised. Just like the voice that said, bet it all. People don't like curses. People don't like to hear curses, do they? People don't like to hear after they have done a crime, been arrested, and been convicted, and then the sentence comes down and says, life in prison. Oh! Why didn't he think about it before he started? See, people don't want to take responsibility for their actions. Then he says, okay, if you still don't obey me, your crops are going to fail, your vineyards are going to fail, your olive trees are going to fail. Verse 41, sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Oh, well, this nation couldn't go into captivity. This nation couldn't fall apart. This nation couldn't be destroyed. Really? What does God say? Verse 43, now let's talk about some current things that are going on. Everyone wonders. Let's look at the law in Arizona. Wasn't that a wonderful law? Didn't they craft that just right so that with any court case, it would fly through 100%? Right? Did it? No. Because you see, the cause is sin. The cause is abortion. You can be guaranteed for every abortion, you're going to get 1.4 aliens. Let's read it here. The stranger dwelling among you, verse 43, shall get above you very high, and you shall come down very low, a process. Have you ever heard what is a tipping point? It's just like a teeter-totter. And you know, when a teeter-totter is in this position, that you're secure because it's down. Then someone with equal weight gets on the other side and you can teeter-totter back and forth, right? But what happens when that someone on the other side jumps off? Crash! That's called a tipping point. We have reached and gone beyond the tipping point. Because of lack of repentance and because of personal sins, collectively, through the whole society, from the greatest to the least, from the richest to the poorest, from the well-housed to the homeless, there's no repentance. Verse 44, he shall lend to you and you shall not loan to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. Is that happening? Are we going to have knocks on the doors for all of those foreigners in different countries who bought the mortgages for the houses that we're living in and saying, the dollar has failed, the government crashed, there is no more money, and we want our house, we're here to repossess it. What are you going to do then? Verse 45, here's a guarantee. And all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because, remember, there's if and because, you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and statutes which he commanded you, and they shall be a sign and a wonder and on your seed forever. That's why these things are coming. See, this goes way out in time, down to our day, down to the return of Jesus Christ, because we are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. Why would God do this? Created the wonderful earth, gave everything that there is, and said, here it is. So he told Adam and Eve, didn't he? Dress the garden, keep it. Those were the commandments. And don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, but they didn't want to do that. They exercised their free will choice to go against God and listen to Satan the devil. Have we not done that? And then when the correction comes, then someone is going to say, oh, boy, don't you listen to that Fred Kohler. He's really a downer. Boy, he really brings the bad stuff out. You know, we want smooth things preached to us. We want lovely, nice little things given to us. Oh, why don't you watch the wonderful ministers who bring us good things about how to be successful? Well, if God is not on your side, you better get on his side. Now, here's the reason. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in the want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. You're already seeing it happen, aren't you? They haven't brought the iron yoke yet, but how about all the debt we have to bear? How about every child that is born today in the United States already owes in future taxes nearly $50,000 per person just for the government debt. And is not that interest going to be a yoke of iron? Think for a minute what's going to happen to us when all the money we're borrowing now for less than 1%, and all of a sudden the dollar comes into crisis, and all of the lenders, which are in all of the nations, just like it says here, says, oh, well, we can't lend you any more money unless you pay 6%. Because we don't know if you're going to pay it back or not. And then all of a sudden, that $50,000 for every child born, every living person in America, now becomes $600,000. What are you going to do then? And remember, the Bible says that the borrower is the slave of the lender. That's not the end of it yet. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation fierce of countenance, who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Then he says, you can eat your fruit, take your land, take your houses, and all of that sort of thing. Are we right, getting closer to the fulfillment of that? These are harsh words, aren't they? Yes, they are. Do you count every word of God true? Well, if you do, this is going to happen, isn't it? And if you don't, it's going to happen anyway, isn't it? So you need to think about it. We are in a proposition here as a people and as individuals and as a nation. Are we going to return to God with all our heart and all our mind? Are we going to repent? Are we going to be able to survive through this? What is going to happen? God shows that eventually in captivity, a lot of people will repent. What do you think the 144,000 is all about in Revelation 7? There are 12,000 from the tribes of Israel who are in captivity who repent. It's going to happen. Now, we need to have God's protection. And in the next segment that we do, I will show you that God will give his protection for us. Now, we still may have to go through a lot of things, which we will. We may have to have scarcity of food, scarcity of water. But if we love God and keep his commandments, he will provide sufficiency for us. And then the day will come. The day will come when we have to stand for the truth, for God, with our lives. Are you ready for that? Do you know that's coming? Do you trust God that much? Do you love God that much? You might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, are you thankful that Jesus died for you? Well, of course. What if God says, are you willing to die for me so that you may have eternal life and rule in my kingdom under Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to have the faith to obey God and believe him that much? We're at the crossroads. What are we going to do? What are we going to believe? Will we repent or not? Time will tell, and there's not much time left. So once again, though we have to cover the good and the bad and the ugly in the Word of God as it applies to us. Thank you for inviting me into your home, and thank you for not turning off the video cast that is coming to you. But really pray and understand that these things are going to happen. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.